We welcome you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's certainly lovely to be back among you. And we pray that the Lord will bless you for those who are in the other hall or those who are listening in the World Wide Web. We want to thank you for coming and for being with us in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I trust that that's the spirit that you've come to God's house today, rejoicing and glad to be here in the house of the Lord. We're turning to the hymn. And it's a hymn in our hymn books, those that use that. 195, they'll be up here on the screen. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. And let us really sing this with all our hearts and worship the Lord. And I believe we remain seated whilst you sing. But nevertheless, let's hear you sing the words of this lovely hymn. Stand for prayer. Well, let's ask the Lord to meet with us and bless us in God's house today. And every child of God earnestly praying that we might know the liberty and the power of the Spirit of God as we come to seek God's face in prayer. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the beauty of this thine own day. We thank thee, our God, that we can say this is a day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. And we will be glad in it. And oh God, we pray that, Lord, that you'll take away from us the discouragements and the, Lord, the situations we've faced in a week that has passed. And oh God, that you'll lift up our hearts and help us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Lord, remember those that are going through difficult situations. We ask of thee that thou will draw near. Pray for those that are sick, Lord, that thou will lay thy hand upon them. Pray for those that are sorrowing, oh God, that thou will draw near to them at this time of grief and sorrow, that they might know the sweetness of thy presence even with them this day. And oh God, we remember our sister congregations across this land of ours and across the world. We pray that thou will help the preachers today to preach Christ in all his beauty and in all of his glory. We think of those of our ministers that are sick today. We ask of thee that thou, the great physician, will draw near and lay thy healing hand upon them. And Lord, restore them back to their health and strength. Get them back into the battle, Lord. And oh God, that they might be in the firing line for Christ. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll bless this congregation here. Remember us, minister. We pray that you'll bless the Reverend McKee. We pray that you'll bless his dear wife and bless the family circle, Lord, even at this time. Lord, we pray that you'll bless the elders and the committee and the members of this congregation, the friends that come. Oh God, we pray that you'll bind the work of God together. And we ask of thee, Lord, that the gospel of Christ will go forward and they'll take ground, Lord, from the devil today. Oh God, that that might be so, even in this service, that souls will be gloriously changed and transformed by the power of the gospel of Christ. Lord, answer prayer. Lord, remember our moderator. We pray that thou will bless him. And Lord, the elders and leaders of our denomination, we pray that you'll give them wisdom and understanding. Help them to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Bless our country. Oh my God, going so far away from thee, we ask of thee that thou will draw the nation back to thee. Back to thee, oh God, to see and know thy blessing again. Do us good today. Cover us in the precious blood. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We're turning to another lovely hymn, 525, Our Service for God Has Been Barren and Dry, and barren it shall remain, until we are blessed with a fire from on high and the sound of abundance of rain. Let's worship God as we sing together, please. city, may we know and hear the sound of abundance of rain. Now we're going to ask our brother Stuart to come and make the necessary announcements at this time for this incoming week in the will of the Lord.
First of all, I want to bid you all welcome to our service this morning, our worship service, and we pray that the Lord will bless each and every one of us as we gather around God's word and as we worship the Lord. I want to bid those who are visiting with us this morning, we bid you a warm welcome as well, and also our minister emeritus, as he's with us this morning in the pulpit, and also his wife. We bid them especially welcome to this house of worship this morning. And pray that the Lord will bless you, Brother McCrae, as you preach God's word. Also, those who are watching on the World Wide Web, we welcome you as well, and those in the complex, as you watch on there, we pray that you will know the presence of the Lord. Those who are maybe watching on the World Wide Web and maybe are sick at this moment of time, may it be an encouraging word for your heart, or those who are sorrowing as well. We pray that the Lord will bless as we gather all together in his presence. Then the announcements and the will of the Lord. This evening at 6:15 is the time of prayer in the complex hall. And those who know and love the Lord and have a desire to see the sound of abundance of rain to fall, come to the place of prayer. That's the only place we'll see the answer given to us by the Lord. Then the gospel evening service at 7 o'clock, and bring along your friends and make sure that you come yourself and make that special effort to come to the gospel evening service. Then Monday evening, in the will of the Lord, is the commencement again after some time off the men's meeting, and it'll be in the complex. And men folk, make this a point on your diary to come on Monday evening at 8 p.m. Tuesday at 10 a.m. is the parents and toddlers group. And again, make that widely known. And we thank the Lord for the great number that have been gathering in to that parents and toddlers group. Then at 2:30 is the senior citizens meeting. And the preacher again will be the Reverend McCrae. Our brother Lennox always used to say, the Reverend McCrae himself. So our brother will be along for the senior citizens meeting. At 8 p.m. on Tuesday evening, again, is the Bible study and prayer meeting. It will take the form of Let the Bible Speak deputation meeting, and the Reverend Brown from our Larn congregation will be along to take that deputation meeting and leave before the people, our congregation, the need for the Let the Bible Speak and the work that is doing throughout the world. Then Wednesday at 10 past 7 is a children's meeting in the complex. On Saturday is 8 p.m. is a youth fellowship in the complex. And then again, next Lord's Day at 10:45 is a Sunday school and the Bible classes. Then at 12 noon is family worship. And then at 7 p.m. is the gospel evening service. The preacher the next Lord's Day will be the Reverend McKee, as he's on harvest call today. He's preaching in Dunmore and then down the county down somewhere. Does not cover it. Ballygown, I got it. Ballygown. Him and the wife is singing there in Ballygown tonight. Then bereavements, as I always make the announcements, there's always the angel of death that has passed through our community, and we need to prepare for that day ourselves. We need to be ready to meet our Lord and the bereavements, and we trust that as we make these announcements, we pass our sympathy from our congregation, the Lennox family, and the passing of Pearl, the Oakfield family, and the passing of Wilma, the Martin family, and the passing of Mildred, the Little family, and the passing of Brian. Also, we remember ones connected with our own congregation, the Stockman family, and the passing of Alice. That is our brother Aubrey Brownlow's sister, and we pray that the Lord will give that grace and that comfort at this time to our brother Aubrey. Then the Brown family, remember them and the connection here, and the wide connection in our congregation, the passing of Roy, the brother of Billy, and Jean and Alice. We remember them in our congregation, his brother Billy, and also that family, Alistair and Colin and Ian, and we pray that the Lord will give them grace at this time of their sorrows. Prayer requests for this week: the Reverend Paul Thapa and the work across the land in Nepal. Remember, they lost their in the presbytery of Nepal there, that church there. They lost their clerk of session, a very young man, and pray that the Lord will bless in that work in Nepal. Also, the Reverend Nigel Smith here closer at home in Merthyr Tydfil in South Wales. Remember our brother in that work there in Wales. Then, in our thoughts on the missionary outreach, we think of the missionary boxes. They're due for collection in this month of October, and they can be left in the hallway for those who count them and bring the boxes back for collection again to help the missionary work across the world. Also, at the we trust that the Lord will keep these in mind, and that you will pray, and these will be all these meetings will be kept in the will of the Lord in your hearts and in your minds. And the minister also says, if there's anyone needs help, just please contact him, and he'll only be too willing to help. Now, there's a leaflet at the end of the service, or if you've already got one, it's concerning, Brother McCrae has already mentioned the state of our land, but on Tuesday, on the 12th of October, in the assembly at Stormont, this is from the presbytery and has left us for you to undertake and to write to your local MLA concerning this. On Tuesday the 12th of October in the assembly at Stormont will be a debate, an abortion service safe access zone bill. This is going to be proposed by the Green Party leader and MLA Claire Bailey, who is a former abortion clinic escort. This bill proposes to allow health trusts to designate a safe zone outside maternity hospitals and abortion clinics. And within these zones, it will be an offence to attempt to influence anyone attending abortion clinics. This will mean that those who are preaching the gospel, praying, offering compassionate support, or simply holding a sign outside these facilities will be turned into a criminal offence. So what the presbytery is wanting you to do is to take one of these leaflets and they have written a number of points that you can write to your MLA. Now, it's it's very near, but you could email and get it, and just make your local MLA aware of what this bill concerns. So we'll keep that in mind, and feel free to lift one of these there on the tables, both in the complex and in the entrance hall, and feel free and do right to make your voice made known. May the Lord bless you this morning.
Thank you, Brother Stuart, for those announcements, and we pray that the Lord will indeed go before all of those meetings and honour the preaching of the gospel of Christ. We're turning to the hymn 639, and it is, Lord, I hear of showers of blessing. Thou art scattering full and free. Showers the thirsty land refreshing. Let some drops descend on me. 639, and we'll keep our seats, and let's sing the words of this hymn.
Let some drops descend.
Amen. Let's stand for the wee word of prayer and commit the rest of the service to the Lord as we come to read God's word and bring his truth today. O God, our Heavenly Father, we ask of thee that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt write thy word now upon our hearts. Bless us as we read the scriptures. Help us, our God, to read the word that thou hast given to us. And Lord, we pray that as we meditate upon it, that our hearts might burn within us as you talk to us by the way. Bless us and do us good. Cover me now in the precious blood. Fill me with the fullness of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the 6th chapter of the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings and the chapter number 6. I want you to follow the reading of God's precious word, and then we'll come to the meditation upon God's truth today. 2 Kings chapter 6 and the verse number 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and let us thence every man, or take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand, and he took it. We'll end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth, for his name's sake. Amen. The book of 2 Kings is said to be one of the saddest books in the whole of the Jewish history, because it reveals or records for us the carrying away into captivity Israel by the Assyrian army. And then, of course, the captivity of Judah by the Babylonian army. It is known as the Book of Dispersion. Now, in 1 Kings, we find that Solomon succeeded his father David and took to the throne. And during the years of Solomon's reign, we find that Israel reached its zenith as regards of earthly splendor. He was a mighty king. But sad to say, Solomon's heart, like so many others, was taken away. Taken away because of his unequal yoke and sinned against God in taking women that in actual fact had led his heart astray. Sad to say, the result of Solomon's sin and the sin of the nation brought the chastising hand of God upon the people. Many in the nation turned away from God and the worship of God to Baal. And there was only a remnant that were willing to worship the true and the living God. When we come to 2 Kings, we find that Elijah the prophet is now about to be called home to heaven. He doesn't go through the valley of death, but rather he is taken up in the chariot and horses of fire into heaven before he goes there. And he and Elisha are walking together. And Elijah said to Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 9, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He realized the solemnity of his task. He realized the greatness of his task as he was taking up the baton and following after the mighty Elijah. And therefore he cried, he said, "Let a double portion of thy spirit fall on me." He needed a double portion of the Spirit of God. You know, Elijah was taken up into heaven in the chariot and the horses of fire. And Elisha saw the mantle of Elijah fall to the ground. And as it fell to the ground, the Bible tells us that he took up the mantle, he went to the verge of Jordan, and he smote the Jordan waters, and they parted hither and thither. God worked a miracle. He cried out, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Thank God, God said, "I'm here. I'm here." And he smote the waters. But unknown to him, there were those who were watching. Because the Bible tells us that as that he did that, it says in verse number 15 of chapter 2, "And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jordan or Jericho saw him, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha.'" And friend, I tell you today, we look back in the commencement of the work of the Free Church and how the Dr. Paisley and Dr. Douglas and Dr. Cook and the Reverend Wiley and those men that stood for God in the early days. And I want to tell you, they were anointed by the Spirit of God. They were set on fire. There were balls of fire for God in the pulpit. And my God blessed their labors. They were eaten up. They were full of zeal, consumed for the glory of God. And what we need to pray today is this: that as a young man come into our colleges and as a young man go through the college and into the pulpits, oh, that the Spirit of God may rest upon them as the Spirit of God rested upon these early men in the days of our denomination. God answered his prayer. And these people saw that the Spirit of God rested upon Elisha. And you know what that tells me? It tells me, unknown to us, people are watching us. And the question is, as the world watches you, or even as other believers watch you, what do they see? What are you showing to them? The Bible tells us that whenever they saw that the Spirit of God rested upon Elisha, then they came to him and they bowed themselves to the ground before him. No, they weren't worshiping him, but they were bowing there in respect and reverence before the man who was filled with the Spirit of God. He was energized for the work. That's what we need, friend. We need the power of God for the work. But you know, in the midst of these days of apostasy and idolatry, there's something that encourages me as I read then the rest of the chapters as we go forward in this book, that God is working. Now, it is a day of apostasy. It's a day of idolatry. And yet God is still at work. And you know, sometimes many of God's people are so downcast and they say, "There's nothing happening." I want to tell you, my friend, God's still working. God's still doing his work. God has a plan. You know what he's doing today? He's fulfilling his plan. Maybe not yours, but he's fulfilling his. Are you willing to go with him in his plan? Or do you want God to fit in with yours? And here we see that God is working. And Elisha has been given the prophetic office. But he realizes it's important to spend time and give his attention to the training of the young men. Now, this training was appropriately formed into schools. And they were designated as the schools of the sons of the prophets. Now, when it says sons of the prophets, that does not mean that that's reference to their ancestry. In other words, they were sons of prophets. No, it speaks about the nature of their calling. They were called of God for their day and to fill the place where God had wanted them. These schools were in Bethel, in Jericho, in Gilgal. They were the schools of the sons of the prophets. Now look to chapter 6 now, verse number 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Now what I want you to notice, my friend, is this. That does not mean that they were dissatisfied. These schools of the prophets, we find that Elisha is here, and Elisha is one who's dwelling with them, and they sat before him, and he gave them the instruction in the things of God. But they faced a problem. They said, the place that we dwell in is too straight for us. What does that mean? Does that mean that they were dissatisfied? It wasn't big enough for them? They wanted something better? No, friend. And I'll tell you how I know it is. Because we find that Elisha the prophet, if that had been the spirit that was in them, Elisha would have rebuked them. But he didn't. He encouraged them. So what did it mean? What did it mean that the place was too straight? I'll tell you, my friend. God was working. And there were so many coming into the schools of the prophets. They had no place to keep them. There was no place and facility for them. And therefore, it was too small. They needed to extend because God was blessing. God was blessing. In the early days when this church started, friend, it was in the front field there in an old army tent. Then in a little wooden hall. And then in a corrugated iron building, which was extended and extended and extended again. And then this building here. And then the complex. Let me tell you, it wasn't that we were dissatisfied with what God had given us. Do you know what happened? God extended the work, and God was blessing the work, and therefore we were building a place to keep and have where God's people could come and worship him. Because God had called us not to move on. God had called us to stay. We were here to stay. And that's why we built a permanent dwelling. And God had called these sons of the prophets to serve him, and therefore they needed something not plush or lavish. They didn't ask for a marble place. They didn't ask for cedar wood. No, they just said, let's go fell beams. Something that was glorifying to God, friend, but for the furtherance of God's work. Notice first of all, if you turn to verse number 2, notice the request. It says, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. Now notice, they just didn't decide themselves, that's what we are going to do. No, friend. Notice what they said, let us go. They came to the man of God. They didn't do this in haste to satisfy their situation. No, there was a genuine need here. And they went to the man of God because they had respect. They came in humility before the man of God because they believed in the wise counsel of the man of God. They wanted his blessing. They wanted his approval to what they were going to do. They just didn't decide to do it on their own. They sought the man of God, knowing that if he gave approval, it would be in God's will. But notice what they said also. Notice they said, let us go, we pray thee. And then verse 3, and one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servant. That was the second part of the request. We don't want to go on our own. Brother, come with us. And here we see the happy relationship between the old man or the older man of God and these young men. And they wanted him to go. They didn't say, well, listen, let us go and we'll decide for us. No, we want you to come with us. And friend, let me take you back to the early days here as well. One of the richest blessings in my memory of those early days is this. That the older men and the young men, they wanted the company of each other. They didn't despise, the older man didn't despise the younger man who was coming along. And the younger man didn't despise the older man because of his wisdom. No, my friend, they wanted to do the work because this was God's work. And they were gelled together in the work of God. Why? Because they had one purpose, and one purpose alone. It was building the work of God, not the work of man. It was the work of God. And so here we see in verse number 3, what did Elisha say? I know you go on. He says, no. He says, I will go. And then it says in verse 4, so he went with them. And here's God's people, and they're marching together, friend, forward in the work of God. But notice not only the request, notice their readiness here. Because this is, let us go and go on to Jordan and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there that we may dwell. Now, there was work involved here. And do you notice, they didn't expect the work to be done for them. They didn't say, Elisha, would you get somebody else to do the work? Or we'd need to hire folks in to do their work. No, friend. They were willing to put their shoulder to the wheel. Manual work wasn't beneath them. It wasn't beneath their dignity. It wasn't beneath their position. Do you know why? Because they had a mind to work. And if you have a mind to work, friend, listen, you'll be willing, a willing participant. Not for somebody else, not to make the decision and let somebody else do it. And you take your hand off it and say, well, that's not for me. Do you remember in the days of Nehemiah? Every man had his place on the wall. And I want to tell you in this congregation, as the days go forward, every man and every woman is needed to put their shoulder to the wheel to make this work prosper under God. And here we find Elisha, the man of God, was with them. But my, they were willing to go down. Listen, in terms of cost, in terms of sacrifice, in terms of effort, listen, let us, let every man go down. And should obey a beam that we may build a house. They had a mind to work. And you have a place in the work of God, friend. Now, you're not, as on the wall, you're not to stand in somebody else's place. It's where God puts you. That's where you stand. And I'll tell you, if you stand faithfully there, you'll have enough to do. And that was the request. But then notice verse 5, the report. It says, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. As one of these young men was lifting up the axe, and the axe head fell into the water, there's a hindrance in the work. Because the axe head's gone. And you know, there are problems in the work of God, friend. Don't you think the work of God's easy? And don't you think the work of God will just be simple, and that everything will just flow very easily. No. Here we find, here was a young man, and he was doing his job. Then something happened. The axe head fell off. It wasn't laziness, and it wasn't idleness. No, he was working. But this lad had no axe of his own. You notice he borrowed it. But notice what he didn't say. You know, he didn't say to the rest of the... Listen, you know, I haven't got an axe head, so you don't expect me to do the work. No, friend. Here was a young man, had a desire to do the work. He didn't use the excuse, I have no axe. He went out and borrowed one. Because he wanted to be a part of the work. Child of God, do you want to be a part of the work? He did. And the word borrowed one, he begged one. He begged one. He wanted to be personally involved in this noble work and put an honest, earnest, good effort into it. He wanted to do the job faithfully. Now notice whenever this axe head fell off, he was doing nothing wrong. He actually was doing the work. And sometimes people think if they're doing the work of God, that there should be no problems. Friend, wake up, smell coffee. The devil will try to stop the work. The devil will do everything he can to hinder the work. You remember Paul and Silas? They were serving the Lord. They heard the Macedonian call. They went over. And my, whenever there was no man there to meet them, they went to the woman's prayer meeting down by the waterside. And glory to God, there was a woman gloriously saved. The devil tried to stop them then. A little girl, demon-possessed, she tried to follow the men of God and be associated with them to try to down the testimony of God. But my, in God's name, Paul was able to demand in Jesus' name that the demon would go. But they were put into prison. They were beaten into the darkest dungeon. And yet they were in the center of the will of God. Your faith will be tested as you seek to do the work for God, friend. And the devil will do everything to stop you. He was in the path of duty. But I believe there's a problem. You can be a good, willing worker, as this lad was. But you need to be a watchful worker. And this lad wasn't. This lad was so carried away with the work. You see him, and he's lifting up, and he's pulling back the axe, and he's gone at the beam, and my has done it, and he did it again, and he did it again, and he did it again, and he wasn't watching. The axe head was loosening. He was so caught up with his work, he didn't watch what actually was happening. And friend, you and I need to be careful. Because you know, we can be so used to doing the same work for God that we can think we can operate in the power and energy of the flesh and not in the power of the Spirit of God. And it can be so easy to be carried away with the work that we're doing and forget the Spirit in which it must be done. And this time he lifts the axe and he goes to fell the tree, and the axe head falls into the Jordan, and all he's left with is a shaft. That's all he's left with. Just a shout. You know, the axe head speaks of the power to do the work. Having the axe shaft was not enough. Listen, he could stand for the next hour and hit away at the tree with the shaft in his hand, no axe head. But tell me, would he fell the tree? No. Foolish. And friend, if you and I do not do the work of God, relying upon the power of the Spirit of God, then all we will do is just have a formality of the work. And we'll not achieve that for God. Because we need the power. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Just keep your hand there. Turn to the book of Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, the Spirit of God has told, or the Lord has told John to write to the church at Ephesus. And he said this, verse number 2. Revelation 2, verse 2. I know thy works, and thy labors, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and not fainted. You say, there's a faithful church. Go to verse 4. Nevertheless, I've somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. You notice the first fruit of the Spirit of God, friend, is love. Love. Joy, peace, love. And I can do all of these things, and without love, it profiteth, 1 Corinthians 13, it profiteth me nothing. An activity without the power of the love of God in your heart, friend, you've lost the power. You have left your first love. Oh, he said, listen, God says, I know your works. I know your labors. I know your patience. Listen, they're busy. Busy, busy, busy doing the same work. And it's in the work of God. It's the church in Ephesus. But God says, I know all about that. But it's something missing. It's your first love. And friend, without the power of God and the energy of the Holy Spirit, the church will never make inroads into the world. Sad to say, what happens is the world will make inroads into the church, and yet the church will be making inroads, claiming ground from the devil and from the world. Notice fourthly, the reproach. In verse number 5, he said, and he cried. He cried and he said, alas, Master, for it was borrowed. This lad, as he stood there with nothing else, only a shaft in his hand, but the axe head was away. And he realized that he's now useless and powerless and helpless and hopeless. He can't be in the work and do an effective work now because he has no axe head. But he's conscious of his loss and he cries. You know, it's useless carrying on until this is put right. Swinging the handle will be futile. And even a preacher standing in the pulpit, friend, devoid of the power of the Spirit of God, he's only beating the air. We need the power. We need the anointing. And that's what you should always pray for. is that your minister and the preachers of our churches, that every time they stand in the pulpit, they're anointed with the power of the Spirit of God. This lad was conscious of his loss. But in the book of Judges, chapter 16, do you remember Samson was lying on the lap of Delilah? And Delilah said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And it says, and he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." Then says this, "He wist not that the Lord was departed from him." And he went out. And he faced the Philistines. But friend, he didn't succeed. His eyes were put out. He ended his days as a blind man in fetters. He lay on the lap of Delilah, lap of the world. And he thought all he had to do was just shake himself as other times. But he didn't realize the power had gone. This lad did. And I say to each child of God this morning, even in the work of God, examine your service for God. Is it fruitful? Or is it barren? You might still be actively engaged, but nothing happening. Read Haggai. Read the book of Haggai, friend. And God said, "Consider your ways." Yes, think about what you're doing. He said, "Ye have sown much, and ye have brought in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes." It's all empty. Nothing. For all the labor. God says, think about it. Consider, examine your way. Here was a lad, friend, and he's lost the axe head. He's not only conscious of his loss, but he remembers it was borrowed. Sad to say, some people, when they get things or they borrow things, they don't mind of leaving it back broken without telling you. But here was a lad of integrity. Here was a lad of honesty. Here was a lad of decency. And he cried out with concern. He didn't try to blame someone else for what had happened. He didn't pretend that all was well and just carry on with the axe head. No. He went to the man of God. And he remembered this. I was entrusted with that axe head. I borrowed it. Wasn't mine. Given to me. And I'm answerable to the giver. Now let me tell you. You say, well, what does this mean? Listen to me carefully. You see, for the power of service in the work of God, friend, that's borrowed power. Because that power to serve him is given of God. It's given to God. God has entrusted you with his power to do his work. And have you lost it? Does it bother you? Do you cry out like this young man? Or don't you care? Let me tell you, that lad realized he was answerable to the one who gave it. A And you and I are answerable to the God who gave us the power in the first place. You're not your own. And child of God, one day you'll stand before God and you'll give an account of your stewardship. Your stewardship to God. Have you lost the power? He said, alas, master. And the word alas means, it indicates that he regarded the loss as final, without no expectation of it ever being retrieved. And it broke his heart. No doubt the devil told that to Peter when he denied the Lord. There's no way back. But the devil's a liar. Notice quickly the revelation. Whenever he went to Elisha and he said, master, I've lost the axe head. What did Elisha say? He says, where fell it? Where did it fall? Where did it fall? There was no supernatural revelation of where this axe head was for him. It was in the muddy water. And you know why there was no supernatural revelation? Because the lad knew exactly what happened. He was there. It wasn't easily seen in the water now because it's the muddy waters of Jordan. But to recover it, they had to go back to the place where they lost it. Look at verse 6. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. He showed him the place. Friend, where did you lose your power for the work of God? Have you lost out with God? And God says, where fell it? Because until you get back to the place where it fell, you can't retrieve it. You need to get back. And the lad walked to the side of the muddy waters of Jordan, and he brought the man of God with him, and he said, there it fell. I was there. It was there I lost the head. Tell me, do you remember where you lost out with God? You're not the person you used to be. You know you're not the person that God wants you to be. Tell me. This lad lost the head because he hadn't kept watching. He didn't see the axe head was listening. And then he just lifted it as usual. Fell off. Did you lose because of open disobedience to God, friend? Have you lost the axe head of power because of lack of separation? Have you lost it because of worldliness that has crept into your life? Have you lost it because of the lack of reading God's word? Have you lost it because of the lack of prayer? Have you lost it because of the lack of communion and fellowship with the people of God and the house of God which once you loved? And the place of God you once would never be held away from. Nothing would have held you back because you love to be in the place of God and the place of prayer. But you don't care the same. Drop in and drop out, doesn't really matter. Have you lost it because of wrong company? Have you lost it because of circumstances? Have you lost it because of disappointment or discouragement? Others? Unknown to you, you get sidetracked. And yet you are carrying on just like before. Where did you lose it? Last day of the recovery. The Bible says, the man of God says, where fell it? And he showed him the place. Verse 6. And he cut down a stick. Now that word is not just a little branch. It means it was a sapling, it was a tree. And the man of God cut down the tree. What does that speak to us, man? It speaks to us of the answer for your loss of power. It speaks to us of the cross. The tree of Calvary. And friend, to regain the power, you've got to get back to the cross. Take me back, Lord, to the place that I started. Loose the chains. Oh God, let me go free, for I can't stay away any longer. God, take me back. Take me back to Calvary. Get back to the cross. He abandoned all human agency and power for recovery. He went to the man of God. And the man of God cut down the tree. What happened? A miracle. A miracle. And the axe head began to swim to the surface. Now notice what didn't happen. The axe head didn't jump out of the water. Now God could have done that too, but he didn't. The axe head swam to the surface. Now look at verse 7. Then said he, that's Elisha, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand. And he took it. You see, the man of God encouraged the faith of this young man. And he said, take it up to thee. Elisha didn't take it up. He said, no, you take it up. You lost it. You take it up. And to take it up, friend, that lad had to stoop down. Because remember, it was floating on the water. And he had to get down on his knees. And he reached out his hand. And he took it. And if you're going to get back to God, friend, to the place of power, you've got to get down on your knees. Confess it. God, I've lost. I've lost out with you. I'm not the person that I should be. And God, I'm not the person I want to be anymore. But God, give me back the axe head. I want to get back into the work. I want to fell the beam and build a house for your glory. And it says he reached out and he took it. Put it back on. He fastened it tight. And he went back to the work. The devil says to you, you let the Lord down. There's no way back. Hitler was mounting his attack against England during World War II. And Winston Churchill was asked to speak to a group of discouraged Londoners. They thought he was going to make a big speech. And he looked at his congregation of people and this is what he said. Never give up. Never, never, never give up. That's all I have to say. Say to God, the devil wants you to give up. He doesn't want you to get back into the work. Come on. Reach out the hand of faith. Bow the knee. Confess your sin. Get back the power. And go and work for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word this morning. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt truly speak to the hearts of those that are gathered here. If there be one this morning listening to my voice, and honestly, like this young man, they admit they've lost the axe head. They've lost the cutting power that once they had. Oh God, bring them back. Bring them back to the cross. Bring them back in confession of their sin. Bring them back to thee. And Lord, use them again. For thy glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and God has spoken to your heart, friend, if you want to speak to me about getting back to the place where you started. Then don't go away. I'm here to open God's word with you. Show you the way back. May God bless you. Amen.